Wasn't Sunday good? Sunday was just stinking awesome to me. I know a couple of my grandkids got baptized, but just the Spirit was, Holy Spirit was so thick in here Sunday morning, and just His presence was just tangible, and just, man, just a, I don't know any way to say it. It was just overwhelming. And let's just dive in the word that the Lord gave me Sunday morning for the kids. I always ask when we have baptism, is the Lord give me some prophetic declarations for the people that are getting baptized. And the Lord gave me Isaiah 61 for the kids, and for all of us. Chris Volatin says that Isaiah 61 is his life scriptures, life verses, and I absolutely see why. It's the scripture that Jesus quoted as He was beginning His earthly ministry, His three-year earthly ministry. It was His declaration. This is who I am. This is what I'm about. This is what I'm about to enter into. And so, I mean, it was kind of like, hey, man, here it is, and be ready for it. John the Baptist had been declaring and preaching to get ready, the Messiah's coming. Get ready, I'm a forerunner. I'm not He. There's one coming after me that's greater than me, and He's the one that's going to change everything. And then Jesus burst on the scene, and He was like, bam, and this is the scripture that He quoted in declaring His public ministry. And so I know it's not happen chance by any stretch or any means, that the Spirit is supposed to be very, very significant for us. It's supposed to be very much promises for us. You know, He says, greater works than these shall you do, because He's going to be with the Father, and He's sending the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. I think the magnitude of that gets lost on us. The disciples, they're freaking out about Jesus saying He's going to leave them. They're like, man, You're everything, and You're all we've known for the last 3 years, and You're so powerful, and You're doing all of this amazing ministry. You're the Messiah, and then You say You're leaving us. And they're trying to figure out what in the heck's going to happen next. What's going on with us next? You know, what's gonna be, you know, with it? What does ministry look like? What does life look like without You? And He's like, guys, It's better for you that I go, because I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I grew up in church where the Holy Spirit was tolerated, where the Holy Spirit was almost like the little stepchild of the Trinity. And Jesus said, it is better because He's coming. Can you imagine Jesus saying, it's better that I go and He comes? And just the weight of that. And we need to really just get trashed on that fact that, man, the Holy Spirit dwelling within us and surrounding us with His presence, that, dude, that is everything. You know, the Holy Spirit is the, I think, what was it Melissa Helcher says, that the Holy Spirit is the crescendo of the cross. I think that's her wording. She says, Holy Spirit is the crescendo of the cross. And, man, I just, I pray that we all would just fall in love with Him and His presence. You know, so often it's easy for us to come in and put our faith and trust and hope in a God that we read about historically. But one thing about the Holy Spirit is its relationship. And relationship requires effort. Relationship requires effort. Relationship requires connection. Relationship requires us coming in and opening our lives up and yielding and giving and allowing Him access to come in. And that's harder than us coming in and just studying about God. That's easy. All that is amped up history. But for us to come in and open our life up and say, God, you know, I desire this relationship. I desire this connection with You. And feel me, and here You have me, and to press into that. That requires a lot. That requires effort. That requires intentionality. That requires a hunger and everything else. And I want to tell you what's going to separate you as a Christian from the majority of people that are, and I'll use this term, but I think it's fair to use it, that are just saved. What's going to separate you is the level of relationship that you pursue with Holy Spirit. That's what's going to separate you. That's what's going to give you go from life to a more abundant life, to a life that is amazing, to a life that is wow. We can go good from good to great in our life, in kingdom life, in spiritual life, but it all is predicated on our relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you don't have it, you're going to have a serious lid. But when you press into that and you open your life up to that, all bets are off then. Like you said in your prayer over Zeven, then we can believe for the crazy. We can believe for the crazy in our relationships. We can believe for the crazy in our life, the crazy in our children. All of this potential, just God stuff, just blowing up, not only in us, but through us and around us. And that's what we desire. So I want to read Isaiah 61, and I want us to kind of pick it apart. I see about 10 different promises in here that I want to talk about. I don't know if we'll get all of them done. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on some, and I may spend some other time. I really want to come in tonight and provoke thought among you and get you thinking this is what God desires to do. This is what He did in Jesus, and this is what He desires to do in me. So let's just dive in. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So he comes in these first two verses and this promise of Christ, and the promise to us is that the Spirit of God's on us. He's anointed us. But I want you to look. He said, He's anointed me to do stuff. He's anointed me to impact lives. He's anointed me to change culture. He's anointed me to help create community. He's not anointed me just so I feel good and I make it through life. The church is extremely, extremely, extremely narcissistic, that we get so caught up in the fact that everything's about us. You know, if you guys aren't careful in what you're in, then your whole life can be consumed with, you know, what I've been through, or what I'm overcoming, or maybe what, hopefully not, but, you know, what I'm going to struggle with 5 years from now and all of this stuff. And you got to know, man, that God comes in and He redeems and He sets you free and He empowers you and He fills you with His Spirit so that you can go out and you can be a force that's impacting the world out there. And it shouldn't be 10 years from now that it's like, oh, man, everything's going on in this and this and this and all. I despise having conversations with people that are continually what's wrong and going wrong in their life. And all of their epic struggles and all of this stuff and all of that. And after a while, man, I'll give you some to start with. I'm talking about Spirit-filled Christians. I'm not talking about some guy out here that's, you know, tripped up and struggling and trying to get back on his feet. Man, I will be gracious all day long. I will pour out. I will minister and all of that. But, dude, after a while, we need to get our act together. After a while, we need to realize that I'm anointed of the Most High God. I'm in covenant relationship with Him. The Holy Spirit is living inside of me. The fullness of the Godhead dwells inside of me. He leads me and guides me in all truth. Jesus is making intercession for me right now so that I can come and release that heaven into the earth. And if I can't get past my own self, then how in the world am I going to set the captives free? How am I going to, in the world, am I going to proclaim and declare the good news? How am I going to come into this place and set at liberty those that are bound up? Release healing into those that need healing. And notice in these first two verses, boy, we read it, we say, man, it's awesome. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. But then he says, because. There's this one word in there, because. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Why? So I can be an anointed father. So I can be an anointed husband. So I can be an anointed businessman. So I can be an anointed pastor. So I can be an anointed minister. So I can be an anointed a person that releases heaven into this earth. That's why the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. It's not just so I can, you know, survive myself and hopefully make it to glory one day. Man, it's like we want to, God wants us to finish strong, not struggle just to make it across the finish line. I'm serious. You read this word, man. You dive into this word. And our culture it really keys on raising up a victim society, a victim culture, where everybody is, you know, I'm the way that I am because. And then we've got all these clauses behind it. I'm the way that I am because I didn't have a good home life. I'm the way that I am because of my ethnicity. I'm the way that I am because of my the demographics. The way that I am because of my economic background. I'm the way that I am because my education or my upbringing. Or you fill in the blank. I'm the way that I am because I got hurt at church 10 years ago. Get over it. I'm the way that I am because I battle sickness. Fight for your healing. Contend for it. Contend for peace. Contend for joy. Contend for hope in your life so that you can contend it for others. If I can't even contend for it in my life, Robin, how in the world am I going to contend for it in your life? If I can't believe crazy for my life, how can I believe crazy for your life? How can I be a person that comes in the middle of a jacked up situation and release perfect peace, perfect sense? You know, you walked in that this morning. And if you're coming in and it's all about robbing and, well, I'm just, you know, all of this stuff, you know, you're not going to be a minister of the gospel. And he tells us we're to be ministers. We're anointed because he sent us forth to do this and to declare this and all of that. And we so undersell what, you know, really we're insulting God because we undersell what we feel like can happen in our life. We come in and we say, I'm not smart enough, or I'm not, you know, creative enough, or I'm not this, or I'm not this, and I'm not this. And really what you're saying, the Word says you're made in the image of God. If you're a Spirit-filled Christian, the Holy Spirit's living inside of you. So really what you're doing is you're saying, I'm made in His image, but I'm really not. I'm filled with His Spirit, but I'm really not. And so quit coming in and insulting God by short-selling yourself, because that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. Your lack of faith in what you can become as a kingdom man or a kingdom woman is really a lack of faith in who He is. When we get a good grasp of who He is, then we begin to understand that all things are possible through us, because it is Him that is working and moving through us and in us and around us, and all of these promises that He's made on our life. So I see that in these first two verses. So I don't have time to fixate the problems that are in my life, the struggles that are in my life, the challenges that are in my life. I don't have time to fixate on this because there's a world out there that desperately needs me to be great. There's a world out there that desperately needs you to be great. So I don't have time. What was that I taught last week, 2 weeks ago? The things that capture your great gaze will eventually capture your heart. I know some people, their gaze is captured by themselves. Their life is captured by them taking a selfie of themselves and not liking what they see. I'm not even going to talk about the false thing where they you know, they go fake it till they make it. I'm talking about they do not like what they see, and so they come in and that determines their life. Quit taking selfies of what's going on in this and put your gaze on Him. And put your gaze on the potential of what Holy Spirit can do in you and through you. Put your gaze on what's in the world that needs fixing, that needs correcting. Okay? You know how you have a nice place? It takes a lot of work to have a nice place, but you know how you have a nice place and maintain a nice place? Your gaze has to be such that it notices things that need fixing. When you walk through and you see things that need fixing, then it will gather your attention, and as it gathers your attention, it will come in and it will get your resources. It'll capture your resources. Time, energy, effort, money, and all of this stuff. But if we're oblivious to stuff that needs fixing, then we won't have a nice place because things will continue to fall apart. And we are like that in society. we get so consumed with ourselves and so consumed with our struggles, so consumed with our issues, we don't see what needs fixing out there in the world. And if I don't see what needs fixing out there in the world, then you know what happens? None of the stuff in verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read it one more time, then we're going to jump on to verse 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn. If I don't see the need, I'm never moved by the need. I'm never stirred by the need. So I want us to realize that He is, the Spirit's upon me, and He's anointed us for action. He's anointed us for activity, okay? He's anointed us to be the solution that's out there. All right, let's look in verse 3. Anybody got any comments? Y'all just jump in. Any comments? Anybody? Y'all good? All right. Y'all accept that mantle on your life? We want the Holy Spirit to make our services better. All that is the fruit of what's happening inside our lives. We do. We approach the Holy Spirit like, come Holy Spirit, come, fill this house, fill this place and all that. And really what we're saying, and this is so shallow and so cheap, we say, we just want you to make our services better. Think about it. Instead of us come in, you know the power of church is when we all come in and God is blowing up in our lives and my God collides with your God. My faith collides with your faith. My expectancy collides with your expectancy. My week of releasing kingdom collides with your release of kingdom. And all of a sudden you get all of this, you know, I mean, hey, we can do a science fair project on this. All of this stuff starts bouncing off of each other and it generates this energy and it generates this heat and it generates this power. And it's because our faith is colliding, Randy. And when I'm home on the back porch, I don't have that to stir me up. I need your faith to help stir me up. I need your faith to collide. I need your God to collide with my God. I need your anointing to collide with my anointing. That's the significance of connection. Right. Yeah. It's never convenient. The gospel is never convenient for us. The kingdom is never going to be convenient. It's not a kingdom of convenience. It's ministry and service is not out of convenience. You know, it's a... how many of y'all it was a convenient time to have kids? Convenient time to get married. You see something, and I ain't hating anybody that waits a long time about getting married or anything like that, but a lot of people wait until they're 30, 35 years old to get married because they want to wait until they're financially stable. You know? I've been married 35 years and ain't been financially stable yet. I made money and we always do good and all of that stuff, but never been to a place where it would have been. Now is the convenient time. When I get everything lined up, all my ducks in a row. My ducks are always scattered. Man, God's always busting my flock up. And it's always going in 100 different directions. So don't wait and think that when everything slows down, it ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen, man. I mean, you getting closer to, have you been slow this year? No way. You ain't been slow. I ain't been slow. But Keith, you been slow this year. We kind of get in a spot where I'm older than you. I ain't older than Keith, but I'm older than you. And we get in a spot, you know, we start to hit in our, you know, mid-50s, and we start thinking, man, I'm going to kind of start, you know, throttling back a little bit. It gets busier and busier and busier. But God built us for that. So don't ever think that I'm going to wait until it gets easier or convenient, because that is not the case, man. If you want to be used in a mighty way, jump in exactly where you are. We've been in the ministry in every aspect of our kids' lives. We were in the ministry when she was a baby. That was not convenient. We were in the, you know, every aspect. It wasn't, I'm going to wait until my kids get older and all that stuff. That was our mindset with them traveling. You know, she started traveling, going on, you know, airplane trips and ski trips and all that stuff before she was even 6 months old. You know, and we just started them out like that. And that's, I guess that's why they like to travel so much now. But their kids the same way. And the thing is, if you wait until everything's going to be convenient, you're going to miss out on a lot in life, guys. You're going to miss out on a lot of opportunity. You're going to miss out a lot of joy. You're going to miss out on some heartaches. But I want to tell you something. I will take every heartache for all the joy that comes with lives being touched and changed throughout this whole thing. Because sometimes some of the lives that were impacted the most by us were in the times when it was the most inconvenient for us. I've listened to Melissa Heltzer a bunch this week. I don't know, man, God just had me in the vein where I hadn't been listening to Erwin McManus or Chris Volaton or some of them, man. It's been Jonathan, Melissa, and Heltzer and all this stuff. And she's just talking about, she was talking about tension in one of the messages I was listening to from her. And she said, without tension, there is no music. She said, every one of these musical instruments up here, if there is no tension, they will not make music. And without tension in your life, without these opposing forces coming against each other, no sound will be made, no music will be made. You take the tension off of James' guitar strings, and it will not make a sound. It's only when the tension is added to this thing. And so we've got to, wherever we are in life, jump in and dive in and not say, well, I'm too young, or I'm too old, or I'm too busy, or I'm not in a good place and all of that stuff. Dude, just jump in. Just jump in and say, man, God's Spirit is on me. I absolutely loved. How many of y'all love Sunday morning? The little girl that's living with Eric and Jessica most of the time. And I don't even know her name. What's her name? Lexi? Who? Alexis? Alexis was the one who got up Sunday morning, wasn't it? Come up. She didn't know she wasn't supposed to do that. That you don't come up and just get the mic, okay? You know, that's what, you're not supposed to do that. But she was so moved by the Spirit that she felt such a freedom in this house and such a covering from a father in her life right now that it gave her liberty to step out and say, man, this is what God is saying to me. We were singing a song, brother. I know you weren't here and you were getting your world rocked over in Alabama Sunday morning, but we were singing a song, Break Every Chain, that Linda was adamant that we needed to sing because the Holy Spirit was just pressing on her. We got to sing this song. And so we were kind of singing it as an intro song and all this. And this young lady, she gets up here and she goes, she said, God woke me up at 3:30 this morning with a dream that we were singing this song. And that people are supposed to, the captives are supposed to be set free. And he wants to break every chain and all of this stuff. And I'm sitting here like, she don't know you ain't supposed to do that, but yay God. It was awesome. It was awesome. She didn't know that she was too young or inexperienced or anything else. Religion hadn't taught her that yet. She was just being... Yeah. She was doing Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord's upon me because He's anointed me to proclaim, to preach the good news. All right? So, you know, I'm like, that's awesome, dude. I love it. Go God. It's never convenient. Look at verse 3. to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." Now, this is twofold right here, guys. This is what God does to us, and then it's what we're supposed to in turn release into others. This is what God's going to do in y'all's life right now, guys, if y'all will allow Him to. Man, y'all are at this place, and y'all got this time, and y'all are at the Blake house, and you're like, man, my life's kind of on hold right now. And I know it. I get it. It's frustrating and everything. But look right there, and what He says, He said, "I'm going to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." He said, "I'm doing this great exchange in y'all right now. Shame that's on you that the enemy's tried to put on you, I'm going to replace that with something else. You know? Regret, I'm going to replace it with something else. Mourning, I'm going to replace it with something else. Heaviness, I'm going to replace it with something else. And I'm going to come in, and I'm going to give beauty, and I'm going to give joy, and I'm going to give purpose, and I'm going to give laughter, and I'm going to give hope, and I'm going to restore all these things." And that's the exchange that's taking place. But here's the thing on this, is this exchange takes place in y'all's life. It is simply to equip you so that you can go out and be who you're supposed to be in Him, and through Him, and then you're an agent of change to release that into the earth out there. I guarantee y'all, every one of y'all has got a buddy row that needs what y'all are in the process of getting right now. Because I do. I got acquaintances that need what I'm walking in right now, what I'm enjoying right now, what I'm experiencing right now. And He comes in and He said, this is what the Holy Spirit is doing in us and ultimately what He's going to do through us. That's a promise from Him that I'm going to come in and I'm going to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'm going to do this stuff in your life. That is a promise to hold on to, guys. You're going to go through junk. You're going to go through hurt. You're going to go through pain. You're going to go through discouragement. You're going to go through confusion. I've experienced betrayal. I've experienced rejection. I've experienced people leaving me. And that's just in family and church. That ain't even the world, what the world tries to do to you. That's in the house and in the realm of natural family. But in the midst of all of that tension, there is a beautiful song that's being formulated. And that beautiful song was His faithfulness. That beautiful song was His love. That beautiful song was, "Let me carry you through this. Let me do this in you." And so that's His promise right here. I think His greatest promise to us is that I'll never leave you. Can y'all think of a greater one? I'll never leave you. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know He's always going to be here. I don't know what it's always going to look like with me and her, but I know it's there until death do us part. Then be a short time, we got eternity. Greatest promise is, I'll never leave you. And He comes in and He says, this is a promise that I'm going to do all these things. And then He comes in that they might be called. All right, look at this. I'm going to do this, and this is a promise, these first three verses in your life, so that you will be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Guess what He doesn't call us? Tumbleweeds. We got to be planted. We got to be planted in each other. We got to be planted in Him. I'm not necessarily talking about just a geographical, but I believe there has to be a geographical planting. I'm not saying that all of you guys are going to, maybe especially you guys, you know, y'all are probably not going to be planted in Bremen, Georgia the rest of your life. But wherever you go and God places you and plants you, marry yourself to that place. Marry yourself to that land. Marry yourself to that community. Marry yourself to that culture and say, God has brought me in and planted me here to be an agent of change. You know why Haiti looks the way Haiti looks and the rest of the Caribbean looks the way the rest of the Caribbean looks? Because of the poverty, there's a lot of things. I believe there's some territorial spirits and demonic, all that stuff going on and all that. But I'm talking about just in a natural sense is the deforestation of that country. They have come in and they cut down all the trees to make charcoal so they can sell the charcoal just to get a little bit of money. And y'all know what happens when they cut down all the trees? It becomes a barren place. When they cut down the trees, you know what happened? Nothing grows. It's mudslides and everything else. And you can go right across the border. Dominica that borders with Haiti? You were down there, Cindy, on a mission trip. You go right across the border to Dominica and it's a different world. But the deforestation, am I saying that right? Is there supposed to be a Z in there? The deforestation will flat out ruin the ecology of what's going on. And when that happens in community and everybody becomes nomadic, everybody becomes transient. I want to tell you something, guys. We need to lose this transient thing that we have with people. We view people as being too disposable. We do not allow God to connect us with people, kingdom people for life. And if something happens and it blows up, we're way too easy saying, oh well, somebody else come along. I don't need nobody. How many of y'all have said that before? I have. I said, I don't need nobody but her and him and my kids. I have. I know y'all all righteous and y'all ain't never had that mindset. But I have before. And you know what that is? That's a transient mindset that says, I will not be connected and I will not be planted. And without a planting, then nothing is going to be stable and nothing is going to grow. The place that we go to down in Patagonia, where we go in Patagonia is on the, it's on the eastern side of the Andes Mountains. The western side of the Andes Mountains gets all this moisture in from the Pacific Ocean, the Chilean side. And it is lush and forest and all of this stuff. And on our side, the mountains, the Andes Mountains, break all of that. And on the side that we go to in Argentina, it looks like Wyoming. I mean, y'all been to Wyoming, maybe the eastern part of Wyoming? It is not lush forest or anything like that. I mean, it is pretty doggone desolate. It's pretty doggone. The wind always blows. Stuff has a hard time growing and taking root and all of that. This ranch that we go to down there, it's a 40,000 acre ranch. This French family came in and back in the 1800s, they developed and they homesteaded on this and developed this ranch. Well, what they did was this guy had enough vision that he imported all of these trees from Europe. You'll go in and he's got 9 miles of river frontage. That's why I like to go, because it's world-class fly fishing, for trout. Goes right through the middle of the ranch. But this guy comes in and they tow how many thousands of trees, thousands and thousands of trees he imported from Europe, and he planted them on this ranch. And so you'll be on this ranch, and it looks like barren Wyoming until you get to the place where all these trees are planted, and then all of a sudden you've got all these trees that should be growing in Italy and Spain and France and all of this, and next to that there's some lush fields and some lush bottoms, because the planting of the trees changed everything. It served as windbreaks. It served as moisture things to control and hold the moisture in the ground. And it changed the whole ecology down there. And God wants us to stop being a transient in our mindset. You can live in Bremen your whole life and be a transient your whole life. And when you come in and you begin to say, God's planted me here and I'm going to marry myself to this place. and God's planted me here, and He's brought all of these amazing people into my life, and I'm going to marry myself to these people and the God relationships that He's brought into my life. And I'm going to invest in that, and I'm going to contend for that, and I'm going to fight for that. It's no coincidence, right? No coincidence that God brought us into each other's lives 20 years ago, Robin. And I'm an idiot if I don't contend for that relationship. I'm an absolute, because you're a godly woman. You're not a Jezebel. You're a godly woman, and I'm an idiot if I don't contend for that so that you are part of my life and part of my children's life and part of my grandchildren's lives. And I'm honored when you come and you sit in my living room and you lead Bible study and all of that stuff. And that's something worth contending for. But we want to come in and we want to be all, oh, he hurt my feelings because he did this or he did that. He didn't shake my hand Sunday or this or this or this. And I'm like, dude, get over it. I guarantee you, if any of you, I don't know if I've offended you yet, brother, but I will. I will. I promise. You know, we listen to people like Damon Thompson, and we're like, oh, man, these guys, this is awesome and all that stuff. Most of y'all wouldn't like Damon if y'all hung out with him a lot. There'd be things about him you wouldn't like. There'd be things about Stephen Furtick you wouldn't like. There'd be things about Bill Johnson you wouldn't like. You'd be like, man, he's too political, or they're out there on this, or they're out there on that. Something's going on will offend you. But if you recognize that these are kingdom connections that God is... I guarantee you I've hurt James and Cammie's feelings some through the years. Guarantee you I have. I mean, intentional. I'm just a flawed human being. But I recognize that there's a divine connection there, and I recognize that God put y'all in my life, and God put me in y'all's life. And I can see the value and the fruit of y'all being in my life, and I hope y'all can see the value and fruit of me being in y'all's lives. And we can look and we can see our children and our grandchildren and the way they're growing up. We're like, by golly, that's worth fighting for. That's not just a coincidence, guys. What y'all see up here on Sunday morning is not just a coincidence. That's a result of some people being planted. People, kingdom people being planted. The baptism service with these grandkids getting baptized and Isabel getting baptized and Judah getting baptized as young children. And it's so precious every time, man, you look right down through here, there's always about 15 or 20 kids sitting there eyeball on this. Right in the middle of it. Just soak it up, baptism. That does not just happen. That's not the result of us coming in and being like, hey, let's build a nice building and throw some good programs together. Hire some good musicians. Get a better speaker than me, and let's do church. That's great, but sometimes that does not necessarily equate into planting. There's got to be a planting. I love this right here. This verse, man, I could camp out on this for weeks. He comes in and he said that they might be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Well, that He might be glorified. When we get planted and we marry ourselves to the land, you know what happens? It doesn't make us glorified. It makes Him glorified. Michelle, when we're connected, He's glorified. When we do life together, He's glorified. When you do life with my daughters, He's glorified. Because He looks down and He says, that's what sisters in Christ. We got some friends, man, they've been saved a long time, but they weren't raised in the South and all that stuff necessarily in the Southern church like we were and all that. And it used to blow their mind because we call everybody brother and sister. And they're like, why y'all talking about brother? I said, it's biblical. Okay, look it up. It's in there, I promise. But that's really what it's supposed to be. Jesus said that He's a friend that's closer than a brother. And spiritual connections are supposed to be deep and they're supposed to be for keeps. He says it's a planning. He says it's a planning. He says it's a planning that He might be glorified. Man, I could do a little spin right now on the place that Errol got married up in Charleston, Boone Hall. There's an avenue of oaks that go down through. Let me take 3 minutes. I need to run. Some of y'all may not have heard this. There's an avenue of oaks, live oaks. I love live oaks, whether it's in Florida or South Carolina or wherever, but the live oaks with the Spanish moss and all that. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. There's an avenue of oaks at that place that Errol got married. And it's this plantation house, and there's this long drive, and I want to say it's about a 3/4 of a mile, something like that. You know, maybe 3/4 of a mile long. And you've got all of these oaks that are hundreds of years old. And they have survived Hurricane Hugo. They've survived all of these other hurricanes that have come in and wiped out so much in that area. And when we first went up there and toured the place and getting ready for deciding if that's where she wanna be married and all that, I asked him about that. And he said the reason that these oaks can withstand the hurricanes is not necessarily because of their individual root systems, but when they plant these, they planted them in such a way that their roots intertwine with each other. So you can't pull up one without pulling up two. You can't pull it up one without pulling up a whole row. And they lock together and they join together. One can put 10 to flight. Two can put. One can put 1,000. Two can put 10,000. That's what the Word says. Talks about it in two different places. That when we are connected and we are planted and when we are interlocked. That's the way your marriage is supposed to be. It starts with that. Everybody that's married, your marriage is supposed to be like that. Okay? But it's got to go beyond that. Because two trees are strong, but a grove of trees is even stronger. A forest of trees is even stronger. We're good. But when we're all together, in singleness of heart, and we're locked and we're intertwined, then we're way more good. Way more better. It's way more better. And so I love, this is the desire of the Lord, and it says that He might be glorified. All right, let's look at verse 4. It says, all these are promises now, they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, they shall repair the waste cities, and the desolations of many generations. I personally think that verse 4 is the revival that we are experiencing right now, the outpouring that we're experiencing. I don't know if revival is the proper word or not. The outpouring that we are experiencing right now, I personally feel like verse 4 is the emphasis of heaven right now. I talked about this briefly Sunday morning. You know, I said modern society says that marriage and church is antiquated and it's out of date and it's of no use, no longer necessary. But the fruit of generations that say marriage and church are no longer necessary, the fruit of that is fatherless generations. The fruit of that is fatherless generations. The fruit of that is fatherless generations. And I believe heaven is in the process of taking that back. I believe that is the emphasis of where God is pouring it out the hottest right now is on families. And when I say families, I'm not talking about just families, husband, wife, children. I'm talking about kingdom families. I'm talking about kingdom families. I believe God's greatest anointing is being poured on the families right now. And the reason that I believe that He is doing that is verse 4 to take it back. And it says that they're going to build the things that the enemy has tore down. They're going to build the things that the enemy said is antiquated. They're going to build the things that the enemy said is no longer important. That's why you're seeing, I said this today, that's why you're seeing this generation, I'll say Aaliyah and them's generation, that's why you're seeing this generation, and man, they've got an entrepreneurial spirit about them. They're not satisfied saying, I'm not knocking anybody that did this, but they're not saying that I want to just go work at Sewell's for 30 years and retire one day. They want more. And it's not so they can go to the beach more, they just want to do more and be more. And I think God's putting that in them. That's why they're going out and they're starting these, you know, these careers and these boutique stores and restaurants and organic farms and all of this stuff, man. Who do you follow on your Instagram stuff? I tell you who my wife follows. She follows, besides the spiritual leaders in her life, she follows the five chicks and a farmer. So why is the world captivated by Chip and Joanna Gaines? Why? It ain't just because Chip's kind of funny and goofy. It's because the world sees something that is worth emulating. They marvel at them as a family, and they marvel at them and what they're doing with their business and Magnolia and all of this stuff. And that's why the world's captivated by it, because I believe that there is a hunger in the world out there for this. Couples that are dynamic and powerful together, and powerful in their faith, and powerful in their generosity, and powerful in their realization that I'm here to impact the world, and this isn't just about me. You know what I think the biggest thing that I like about them is? And dude, that ain't my thing. I went with Lori, but I was, man, that's me throwing my wife a bone. You know, like, baby, I love you. I'll go with you and all that stuff. It's cool, their story. But my thing getting to go shop for home decor. I'll echo Damon on that. That's not my thing. You know, that is not my thing. But the thing that I think that I absolutely love the best about them is when they got wealthy and they got famous, they stayed in Waco. James, they could have very easily, and it might have made more financial sense for them to go to San Antonio. It's not far. To go to Austin. It's only about an hour and a half to Austin. And Austin's a kicking town. And they got a great food scene, live music capital of the U.S. is what they call it. You know, it's a state capital. That would have made the most sense. They could have even transferred that out into California and said, man, we're going to open something up in Malibu, you know. And Magnolia's going to be out here. But they stayed in Waco. And you know why they stayed in Waco? Because God planted them in Waco. Because that was home to them. And they said, I'm going to redeem this place. I'm going to redeem this place. What did y'all think of about Waco before Chip and Joanna Gaines got famous? David Koresh. Koresh, isn't it? That was the stigma on that city. Everybody done forgot about that now, hadn't they? What was it, that the Davidic something? Yeah. You know, they went in, man, and the whole thing was a debacle, and, you know, people got shot up and all of this stuff and everything, the way that, you know, all of that. But that was the stigma on this place. But these people got famous. These people got blessed. They got blessed, and they said, this is home. God's planted us here, so I'm going to redeem this. And so they're in the process of flat out redeeming that whole city. Redeeming the whole city. I paid $10 or $15 to park my car in a vacant lot, Randy. You know who was getting the money? Church, First Baptist Church. Or some church, First Presbyterian something. They had a guy sitting out there in his full-time job was charged people to park. And I gave him, you know, I'm like, here you go, brother. Can y'all go send somebody on the mission field for it? $15 to park my car in a vacant lot so I could go shop in somebody's store and spend money on them. Tell me something that don't make sense. But they came in and they married themselves to a place, redeeming a place. They're doing Isaiah 61, verses 4, 3, 2, 1. They shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. You know what I want my granddaughters to dream about? I want them to dream about getting married. To dream about wearing a white dress. To dream about being a princess. That's what I want them to dream about. That's what I want them to dream about. I want it to be recaptured. I want Zealand to understand the nobility of coming in and saying, you know what? I'm smitten by this little girl and I think I want to court her. Instead of saying, I want to see how quick I can get her in the back seat of a car and get in her panties. Come on, let's just get real. but to honor her and to honor something that God said, this is great. And to come in and say, I'm going to do it right. And my heart is so, I can't wait to be able to do this. I believe God's going to reclaim that stuff. I believe He's going to reclaim purity among our youth. I believe it. I believe God's going to reclaim purity among our youth. It's not going to be a badge of honor of how many people you've slept with, but it's going to be a badge of honor of how pure you've kept yourself. And the Madelines and Noahs are not going to be the weird ones. They're going to be the noble ones. And everybody's going to say, that's what I want to marry. And that's what they're going to be smitten by. That's verse 4. It ain't talking about coming in and just rejuvenating downtown Bremen, although that can be part of it. But it's talking about rebuilding things that were stolen, rebuilding things that were robbed. And part of that's honor among men. That's some of these waste things. You know what our job is? Is to be such a man of honor and integrity and character and hard work and discipline and passion that the young men grow up and say, that's what I want to be like. I want them to say, that is a life that's worth emulating right there. That's a life worth following after there. That I want to be that man. That's what we should aspire to, Randy. You know what that is? That's coming up and rebuilding things that the enemy stole. We live in a fatherless world. Even the Word says you have many instructors, but you have few fathers. Do you have any fathers? Our job's to be those men. And to raise up the young men, the Noahs and the Isaacs, and all of these young men coming by, the Zealands, and all of them. Starting right here. Teaching them how to be men. Teach them how to be godly men. Teach them how to be men that are walk as princes and kings. Whew. Son, come on. What time is it? Let me check my phone. It may be time to quit. I got 3 minutes. They shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations. Hey, we could go down some trails right here and we could talk about redigging some wells. We could talk about some old paths. Restoring those things. They shall repair the waste cities. The desolations of many generations. I love a city that comes in and it basically reclaims itself. Have y'all not seen the move in that across all the little smaller cities across the country right now? Is that not a big move? Has not Carrollton done a fabulous job? They have. I know it's next door to us and we're kind of like, you know, if I was from somewhere else, West Georgia would be a pretty cool place to go to college at. Carrollton's a pretty cool little town. You go up to the downtown area, There's some good restaurants you can eat at now. There's actually some good restaurants. There's actually some shops that are worth going in. There's a reason to stay local on stuff. I don't go to Atlanta much anymore. You know, Lori go to Atlantic sometimes shopping and I'll tag along, we'll go out and eat somewhere, but I can find plenty around here. I love going to Gabe's in Villarica and places like that and all that. And it's because somebody said, you know what? I'm going to do it here. I'm going to do it here. I'm going to restore it here. You say, well, it helps because they got Southwire money and Tanner money. Well, why don't you be the next Southwire? He said, oh, brother, I'm just him pants at Sewell's. I pray an entrepreneurial spirit would so get on our next generations that they would get so creative and they would think so outside the box and they would be so excellent and so diligent and come in and say, man, I'm going to dream for more, but I'm going to put my hand to the plowshare and I'm going to try to become something and I'm going to try to change some things and all of that stuff. And why not? Why not your community? Why not your community? Why does it have to be dead? Why does it have to be impoverished? Why? Because we don't plan ourselves to it. And we don't marry ourselves to it. I'm out of time. Man, I'm out of time. All right. Wow. We'll catch this next Wednesday. Y'all just want to dive back in next Wednesday. Let's do that. All right. We got first four verses. Y'all go home and study those. Y'all go home and meditate on this. And take this to heart. Okay? Take this to heart. Sometimes you know what your job is? To be the shoulders that somebody stands on. You say, brother, I'm a little bit a long way along in the game to be changing career and doing this and doing this and doing this. You've got kids, you've got grandkids, you've got spiritual sons, you've got spiritual daughters. Be the shoulders they stand on. It doesn't have to be you, but you can be a launching pad. It doesn't have to be you, but you can be a launching pad. You look in the first century church of the book of Acts and all that, and we all talk about, man, that was awesome. They just all loved each other, and they all loved Jesus, and everybody's need was met. You know how everybody's needs was met? People with substance came and they gave it. Look, I ain't going to lie. I like doing stuff and all of that, but I want to be a person of substance so I can come in and be the one that's the problem solver. Don't you like being the one that... We had a leadership meeting last night. There was, you know, four or five of us in the room and all that. And there was a need that got lifted up. There was two or three guys fighting over each other, you know, throwing money at the need. I got 200. No, I got 200. No, I got 200. Thought they was going to get in a wrestling match over it. I want to be the righteousness of the Lord. I want to be the tree that's planted, that fruit falls off of it, and they come in, and the fowl rests in the branches, and the stuff comes and eats the fruit of it. I absolutely love that. Let's be those people. Let's be the resource. It's a world that's desolate. They say this is a life spring. Y'all go home, y'all read Isaiah 12:3. He said, man, I'm going to dip it out of those wells, the wells of salvation. I'll draw it out as needed. I'll draw it out of Paul as needed, and I'll feed an impoverished world with it. I'll give them drink. I'll give them hope. I'll give them ideas. We've let the world outthink us. We've let the Toms outmove us. We've let the clean water people outdo us. We have. Because so we're so busy supporting all our programs and our staff. I'm sorry. Nothing wrong with it. But let's be so extravagant that we go way beyond that. I pray we have $1 million budget out here every year. As long as 900,000 of it goes out there. Why not us? We're just, you know, we're in just a low rural. Let's shake the stigmas off. Let's shake the stigmas off. Bremen doesn't have to be just a low textile town. Billerica doesn't have to be an impoverished mill village. I grew up with that whole, any of y'all from Billerica? You are. Billerica's always had the stigma of just an impoverished mill village. It has. There was a stigma attached to it. I grew up in Harrelson County, brother. Ours wasn't much better, okay? You know, I went up there in Fullerville, right? I drive right through it when I go to Gabe's and eat me a good steak. I know exactly. I used to go up there and play ball. Against all you, I'm older than you, but... But why does that have to be who we are for the rest of our life? Why does that have to be? That, boy, it was good until everything went offshore. Now we don't have anything. Now we just... Why does that have to be us?
These kids that are flowing now, I'll give you an example. Maddox really likes to talk at school. That's his big problem at school is he likes to share in times he probably shouldn't be sharing. And Lindsay had asked him, said, "You're a smart dude. Why is it you can't keep your mouth shut?" And he said, "Mother, there is so much information up here. Sometimes it just drops out." And we have people around us that can flow. But if we're not careful, we want to tamper them down. And when we do, we crush that spirit. So we've got to be very delicate and be very observing that there's so much around us. And if we're not careful, we will pee on the fire and we'll put it out.
Amen, Deborah. Y'all stand to your feet. Isaiah 61 wasn't just Jesus. He was the firstborn among many brethren. That's what the Word says about him. It is so easy and so wrong for us to default and say that's just about Jesus. Because you're insulting who's living in you. Was it about Jesus? Absolutely. But it's just as much about you. It's just as much about Keith Carter. Just as much about Linda. Just as much about us. So man, let's open up and let God just begin. Let those promises begin to flow in us. And let's begin to release that. Let's see how God can grow us. Let's see how large we can be, how large our life can be. Alright? Let's see that. Father God, we come to you tonight. Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to come to your house and to study your word. I pray that tonight, Lord, we were challenged by your word. I pray you just get up in us. And Lord, we can see the potential in our children and our grandchildren, but we fail to see it in ourselves. And Lord, I pray that every person in here would begin to open themselves up to you so that you can do a work in them and through them. And Lord, just stir hunger. Lord, if we have to sit and let the good leaven do the work in our lives for a season, then let it happen in our lives so that we can be enlarged. But God, I pray that we would just be expanded so that we can do everything that verse 4 talked about tonight. And Lord, I pray your blessings on these people. I pray your blessings on the children. I pray your blessings on the youth. Everybody that's here tonight, God, just take them, use them, stir in them, and let us just, Lord, just desire and hunger for connection with you. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen, amen. The altar's open. You know, come down and have communion. And, man, just come before the Lord if you need to. Amen. Go ahead, Sandy. Now until forever, Jesus, I
trust and all.